Salam, dear listeners, and after morning glory, it's our time for the Q&A session or the musing session by Professor Venkatraman. One of the recent developments in the Prashant NLM campus is a new structure that has come up next to the administrative block, and it is a very, very important, impressive landmark. It is a building with a lot of significance. And Professor Venkatraman has explained what this building is all about and what is the role of Radio Sai in this and how important it is for all of us and why is it so. So here is a conversation that was recorded by Professor Venkatraman just 2 days ago, where over 40 minutes he reveals to us about this project that was in the making for the last 3-4 years, and in fact which was conceived more than 10 years ago. So here is the special conversation with Professor G. Venkatraman. Sairam, sir. It's really very heartening to see the magnificent structure next to the administrative block. And if you can tell us what it is actually going to house and what has been the story behind the coming up of this beautiful edifice.
Okay. Do you want to hear the full story or just the headlines? Because there is a story behind this building which goes back 10 years. Which do you want?
I think if you can tell that also in brief, it will be good.
Okay. It all started when Radio Sai started. So we began to collect various kinds of material related to Swami. We collected photos because we needed them for our web magazine. At that time it used to be Heart to Heart. Then we needed audio because we needed audio for our Radio Sai. And then we got into video work also. So we began to collect video films and also 16mm films, which happened with the kind courtesy of Janet Bicker, formerly Janet Bock, wife of late Richard Bock, who was the first one to make serious films on Swami. He was a professional. So as we began to collect these things, we began to wonder, how are we going to store it for posterity? That was something I was personally worried about. And over 10 years, all sorts of things happened. And many ideas came up, but they didn't fructify because for Swami, Samayam and Sandarpam must be correct. And as far as this building that you are now talking about is concerned, this convergence began to happen roughly 5 years ago. But there were many ups and downs, and finally about 2.5 years ago, the foundation was, stone was laid, and from then onwards, the reality began to take shape. That in brief is the history.
Wonderful. So now, how is this archival building, you would say, is different from any other archival building that is there in the country or elsewhere in the world? Because it is going to house such precious material concerning the avatar. If you can share with us the amount of work that has gone in designing the building as well as in the construction of this building?
This is a good question. There are many kinds of archives. Those that serve scholars and those that serve public in general. Now in America, which has done a lot of work in this direction, there are what are called presidential libraries. Every presidential library captures the career of a particular president. I happened to visit the Kennedy Center in Boston. Kennedy was from Boston, and his presidential library, or Kennedy Center as it was called, located in Boston. It has theaters where films related to various incidents in Kennedy's life are shown. his election, the Cuban Missile Crisis, and there are a lot of memorabilia, dresses and so on, and many documents. So it is a complex where public visitation is an important ingredient, and data is also available via the internet to public. On the other hand, if you go to the National Archives in Washington, D.C., which I visited, they have a section where certain documents of historic importance are put on public display, and they are preserved in a very special way. And they have millions of other documents which are not on public display. Parts of it are released to the public, parts of it are kept in special boxes, and when scholars come, they are given the copies, they can study, make notes, and they return. If they want, they can make photocopies. Now, if I wanted to do things of that kind, it would cost a lot of money. Secondly, we had an assortment of various items. We had photographs, we had slides, we had negative films, that's on the photograph side. Then there were films obtained from various people. So that's a different kind. Then we had, so photographs, films, videotapes. Videotapes, we have roughly 20,000 hours of video footage. Not all of it is good, but it goes back a long time. And then audio. We have a lot of audio discourses, plenty of them. Qualities fluctuate, but that is archivable material. And last but not the least, original manuscripts handwritten by Swami. So we had an assortment, and this kind of assortment is not usually found in an archive. So for each there is a certain preservation methodology and condition, environmental condition. So we have to combine all this in one building and make it compact and cost effective in the Indian sense. So in that sense, our archive when completed will be very unique. It uses modern technology, but it is compacted and is meant mainly for preservation. But in that building, it is hoped to establish a center of scholars who will draw upon these things. Right now, this will not be available to outsiders, except on a selective basis. In due course, that access will be facilitated, in part by Radio Sai, but in part directly by the FX Institute of Scholars, which will occupy part of the building.
So this area is going to be absolutely secluded, and there will be no visitors allowed into this building.
I'll put it this way. We took the view, we must keep dust under control. Dust is enemy number one. And the way you keep dust out is, you plan and build a clean area to start with. And then keep that clean area isolated. The fewer the people who go there, the lesser the dust ingress. So the population of the building will be sparse, and in the clean area only few people will be allowed to go in, and they will wear protective clothing so that outside dust is not carried in. This is called clean room conditions. The working area will have one class of clean room parameters. The storage area will have much stringent parameters. And if you don't disturb, the rooms will become even cleaner than they otherwise would be, because they outperform the design when there is no disturbance. It settles down to a higher level. So that's a cost-effective way of maintaining cleanliness. And for us, cleanliness is important.
And if you look at the building from outside, it has a very glorious feel, and it has white and gold. Is it modeled after any particular edifice? Or what was the idea behind the structure that we see? And it looks very stately next to the administrative block. So really a lot of thought has gone into the way it presents itself there.
There are two aspects to that question. One is the location and the other is the architecture. As far as location is concerned, I was particular that the building be equidistant from the university administrative block. Because on one side there is the Heritage of Man Museum. And I thought it will look very nice if this is symmetric. But there was a question, does that land belong to the Central Trust? Earlier it was felt they did not belong to the central trust, our boundary ended somewhere. But then people went and looked at the property documents and said, no, you can locate it there. So I got my way as far as that is concerned, because if you look from the ground, the stadium, it looks very nice and aesthetic. Secondly, from the spiritual so-called Vastu angle, I don't set personally much store by that. They said, since it is in the southwest of the ashram property, it must be the tallest building. So it got one vote for that. And as far as the architecture is concerned, I came up with a suggestion to have a functional building. None of these fancy things. Because I didn't have any legitimacy to argue for something like that. But the gentleman who is being kind enough to build the building and donate said, no, it must look grand. So he added an outer shell that looks like a temple. And it is supposed to look like some Orissa temple or something. I'm not too sure about that. But when you look closely at the top, there is an architectural feature that looks like a modernized Ganesha. So it is hundreds of Ganeshas all over the Gopuram. That's the way it can be looked at. But it adds grandeur and dignity. And I did not want to stand in the way of the gentleman who is building the building. That is your say. He added a lot of frills because he wanted it to be very nice and grand. And since it is going to hold the precious materials directly linked to the avatar, be it film or audio or tapes or handwritten manuscripts, of which we have got quite a big collection, I felt Swami's prema is captured there, and I am trying to float the idea that it should be called Sri Sathya Sai Prema Jyoti, not archive. The archive is sort of too tasteless, odorless, colorless name, because it's Sai's prema. It's stored there and it will radiate from there, and we'll make sure Radio Sai does that job. Otherwise, it will get black mass maybe.
It is the storehouse of everything that Swami granted to us.
The only avatar who has left behind anything like this. Shirdi Baba, there are some photos. That's all. Because technology was just then developing. There is not a scrap of paper or even palm leaf left behind by Rama or Krishna. Krishna gave this message which was recorded in real time by Vyasa, or maybe later. Now, it has surveyed history and come to us. It's one of the most studied philosophy books across the world. Now, Swami has left quantitatively much more, and qualitatively an elaborate expansion of the Gita in many dimensions, as tuned to modern times. That is an extraordinary thing to possess, and you can't let it perish due to the ravages of the environment. So we have taken care to do that. And therefore, I feel the light of the avatar shines from there. And avatar was prema avatar. Though he is called Sathya Sai avatar, his life was a message of love. Pure love. Divine love. So my feeling is, I am lobbying hard for it being called Sri Sathya Sai Prema Jyoti. I hope I will be successful.
And my other question is, now that you have seen so many archives in the US and in India, and then spent a lot of time designing this, do you think this is something which is really not there anywhere else in the world? Is it something which is really exceptional because now it is being built with all the modern technology in terms of control of dust and humidity and air pressure and everything? Is it something, can we say safely that it is one of the best in the country or in the world?
No, I won't make that claim. And let me also make it clear, I have not seen a lot of archives. I have seen on videos what has been done with the movie industry, especially Walt Disney. There are movies. I have seen those movies. I have seen the collection in the Shoah Foundation, which is in the University of Southern California. And there they host the Steven Spielberg's Holocaust Collection Archive. It's basically 100,000 videotapes made of Holocaust survivors. in many languages in many countries, principally Israel and America and UK, but they are spread all over Eastern Europe and other places like that. That's an extraordinary collection. That's of videotapes. Now, the industry has got its own archives. Because, for example, if you take studios, Columbia, Paramount, I don't know how many are surviving, they have got their own movie archives. They make DVD box sets and sell. Then, audio archives, the National Public Radio in America has got, BBC has got one of the best radio archives. It goes back almost to the time when they began to recordings. Recordings were not popular in the early days because it's too cumbersome. But they have recordings that go back to at least 1935-36. They have a very big collection. And they have incredible archive of football matches and cricket matches. Any game, anywhere, they record it. So they are going to build a separate audio archive which will be available on the net. BBC audio archives and video archives. And then when it comes to paper, National Archives in Washington. I visited there. I spent 3 or 4 hours there. As far as India is concerned, our people have gone to Pune to see the Reserve Bank archives. Reserve Bank of India has documents going back to 1860, 1870 or something like that. The Tata archives. Tatas have photographs and papers and various artifacts. So that was seen by some of our people. I think Sai Prakash was one of them. I did not go there. But we collected a lot of material about technology of storage. And we came to the conclusion, exclude dust, have clean room conditions, and make it accessible to as few as possible. Data will be available. So we are keeping the two separate. And I would say in that respect, and in the diversity of our collection, we are unique. Most archives are specialists. They either they have this or that. We have everything from original manuscripts to films and audio. In a sense, it is like the presidential library. But in the presidential library, everything is put in the electronic form and it's available from there. The originals, I don't know whether they are stored on this scale, at this level of cleanliness. I don't think they have spent money on that. They have spent money on it. Each president, you know, leaves behind his archives. And that is available. Kennedy, all the papers, if you want, you can access it in terms of electronic data. Where they store, I do not know. Even in US, they have millions of documents. They cannot store it the way we do. But our things are all of every one of the handwritten people's pieces of paper coming from Swami. To the extent we can get them, we will store it under clean conditions like the Declaration of Independence, Bill of Rights, Magna Carta has been done in America. Same technology on a mass scale. But our quantities are not as large as others. However, they are very precious.
So once the documents and these archival material are in these conditions, they can remain for as many years?
Yes, but you must make sure of a few things. First of all, the building has an age. And today, you don't get pure materials. So, we don't know what the building's age is. So, the people in charge 500 years from now, if the building is going to crumble, they will have to rebuild something else using the state of the art. Secondly, even the digital data, digital technologies, you can preserve, but it keeps on changing. So, nobody can say what it will be in 500 years. In fact, if DNA memory comes into existence, all the data can be put into what looks like a pen drive. In fact, a pen drive can contain data of all the libraries in India. So, you may need just a cupboard, which is very clean. We don't know what is going to happen. That upgradation is one of the things that has to be planned. We have to leave behind documents so that people coming 300 years from now, they know how we planned it and they can adapt it to that scale, new technology. Otherwise, this will get lost. It's like a lost language.
I think to that extent, a lot of documentation also has gone into this archive, isn't it?
I would say that is a documentation responsibility that has been placed on us we have to deliver it, and I hope we do it. But in India, we have very poor track record of documentation. Somehow we have to create that discipline here, and let us hope it is done. I have committed myself to it, but whether I am able to achieve it depends on the general environment and the culture of the people. I cannot do everything. I can only say do this, do that. But it has to be done.
Now the access to the archive will be to certain specific people who will use the data. So general devotees cannot really have any access to the information.
Two different things, data and archives. Archive is only a storage building. You don't have to go and see the Amazon godown. What you want is a product which you can get on the internet. You don't go and see the godown. This is a godown. But the content that will be is meaningful in today's world is the digital aspect of the content. That it takes a lot of time to process it and make it available. If I just give a letter written by Swami, it has no meaning. That's content in the letter. But you want the context. Why did Swami write to X, Y, Z? Who is that X, Y, Z? All that is what really adds value to the content. Otherwise, it is like finding some stone or Ashoka's engraving somewhere. But luckily there is some historical background, you know. But if nothing is known and you find something in strange language, the Indus Valley script is one of them. They have been finally able to decipher it. Here, we can't afford to be slack like that. We have to give the context and all that. And what scholars want is not the original. They want the data.
So basically, all these precious legacy that Swami has said, it will be, first of all, the access will be only in the digital way to people who will be working on it.
Anywhere in the world.
Yes.
Unless you go to British Museum and you borrow a book.
And the people who will understand this, process it and then present it in a manner so that the devotees can make use of it.
Yes, the latter factor is important. Because if you look at Swami's handwritten letters, some of them are in English, you can read them. But the Telugu manuscripts, he has used the style of writing which was more popular in his time. So if you catch hold of an 80-year-old scholar, he will be able to read it. I found that today's young people are not able to even read what he has written. So capturing the text by photo is one thing. Reading it and transcribing it and typing it and so that the printer can read it is another thing. There are many steps there, and we need to find people who can read the handwriting of Swami.
So there is a lot of work in terms of understanding and processing and packaging this huge treasure that we have with us. So is this also going to happen in the building, because there is so much space there? You have a first floor, you have a second floor, you have an upper basement, and there is a lot of space there.
We can't pack that building with the people who do this kind of work there. There will be scholars, a small number, who will devote themselves to understanding the legacy of Swami's spiritual legacy at various levels. But this kind of work can be done anywhere provided the digital data is given. It doesn't have to be done here. That is the beauty of the internet and digital technology. So we need to find scholars elsewhere who can work on this. We can farm it out, and so many things are possible. And in fact, we may have to go to certain places where there are people, old people, who can read this. We don't have to pack them here and do it. Once it is digitally available, the person can be even in America. Then that will be here. We send it, it goes, person reads it and then types it in Telugu and it comes back.
So is there any plan for how the space in the first floor and the upper basement and second floor will be used in this building?
No, there is a plan to create a center of scholars. So the building will have the people connected with archive and its management, namely vaults and its management. And there will be scholars. They will have limited access to certain things which they would need. But this dissemination to the rest of the world has to happen in two sets. One is, Radio Sai will take the content, digest it, and offer it in a manner that media usually does. For example, you look at discourses, you take the content, and you can't just give it like that. People today have no time and aptitude for inclination to listen to these things, or aptitude for that, appetite for that, as I should say. You have to put it into some suitable format. Swami himself did it with his Chinna Kathas, for example. Or in his discourse, he will say, Okka Chinna Udaharanam. They have to be readapted for the world of today, where you have not only the regular media, but also the social media. What is it that people like to hear? And here, there is a lot of scope for imaginative blending. If you take the human body, for example, it is a paradigm for many of the lessons that Swami teaches. Now, if you present that in that way, that calls for a lot of creativity on the part of the person who is acting as an interface between the public and Swami's message. And this message will shine like anything, because there is nothing like this anywhere in the world.
Wonderful. There is so much of opportunity for people to really now dwell on Swami's teaching. Do you think the university will be involved? Are the research scholars in the Institute of Higher Learning, will they be deeply involved in the study of this literature?
See, things happen when there are people with curiosity and inbuilt urge. So far, there has not been much of that. In fact, Swami's discourses have received very little attention. Even the translations of the original into English are lacking in accuracy, terribly lacking in accuracy. Some of the discourses have appeared in digest in various places. They are more like newspaper report. Newspaper report is a report. It doesn't convey the spirit in which Swami is speaking, used to speak rather. And the analogies are lost. It's more like a bland, insipid food eaten by a diabetic. That should not be the case. It must be vibrant, it must be spirited, it must energize. If you read Vivekananda's speeches, they are 150 years later, they are still very energizing. Swami gave that message. Nobody bothered to put it in that way and communicate it to other people. We have to do that. Now, in today's world of instant gratification, instant media, instant communication, can I find people of that aptitude? That, how can I say? We hope in Radio Sai, we will create an urge and many people will come forward. It is quite possible, because movements are born that way. One or two fellows are obsessed with it, suddenly it becomes a movement. So if we can generate a movement, then great things can happen. And my own feeling is, when the time is right, Swami will make that happen. I've seen that happen in Radio Sai. I know it started with 1.5 people. Hari Nandakumar was one sort of 60%. Rest was contributed by me. And from that small beginning, we have done a lot. But I call this tip of the iceberg. And we have to do a lot more. And really, the example in this should be set by Radio Sai. But my job is to make the effort and leave it to Swami. But it is bound to happen one day, because the power latent in that cannot be confined. It will burst and come through.
And it's really fantastic that it is happening in the year of Swami's 90th birthday. And what I want to also ask you is, this is something that you have been thinking about for very long. You've been praying to Swami. Were there opportunities or occasions when you actually physically mentioned to Swami about this endeavor?
I can't recall, but I have tried to think once or twice convey, but the archive plans of the present building were conveyed to Swami. I was not physically present, and he blessed it. Therefore, it is actually a translation of the blessings, the building as it is. And the building, our external facade, Swami has seen. He has seen the model, Manchidi. The location he did not say, but there was an attempt to earlier construct this in a different manner and according to a different design in the ashram. Swami did not approve that. So I had a feeling he waited for Samayam and Sandarpam and put this temple of knowledge, in divine experience of God in human form. Because all those videos are extraordinary. The photographs of Swami stripped to Badrinath. I've got excellent photos. Very few have been seen in public. So we have got a lot of masala.
Now when you look back, you see that so many pieces falling in place, how Swami was perhaps, as you mentioned, waiting for the Samyam Sadharmam and connecting so many dots. Now you see the Prema Jyoti next to the Chaitanya Jyoti and you have the administrative block.
Actually, Chaitanya Jyoti is below us.
I know. It's really fantastic.
See, this is different from Chaitanya Jyoti. Chaitanya Jyoti is some visualization of Swami's life and things have been put there. Here, it is nobody's visualization or anything. Nobody's painting or anything. There are historical records of Swami available via photographs, via films, via videotapes, via audiotapes, in handwritten manuscripts authored by Swami, or some communication sent to Swami, important communication. So, there nobody was creating anything. There is raw data available. And from that we have to package. For example, if we take discourses, we can write Vimarsanam. It tailored to today's life. For example, Swami talks of discipline, and in that context he talks of discipline sports. How you must obey the referee servicial immediately without question. Today all that has changed. Sports itself has become money-minded, and there is match-fixing, and so on. So the message takes an altogether different dimension. That has to be pointed out. Nowadays people don't believe. It has become an event, an entertainment, and people must be ready to see it on prime time, and you get a lot of money out of advertisement. That was not the way original sports were. Sports was originally. So, we have to present that old message in new form. Swami talks about jaywalkers, people who walk on the road as though the road belongs to them. Nowadays people drive as though the road belongs to them. So, we have to change the presentation, so to make it meaningful. Otherwise people will say, what are you talking about? People don't walk. If you walk on road, you are fined, because you must move only in vehicles. But you must take the lesson that Swami gives, apply it to modern context and take it further. Especially when it comes to food and daily habits. We are all forgetting, every individual is one of the most complex and precious things in the entire universe. Nobody understands this. The human brain, physical entity, was described by Francis Crick, one of the people who unraveled the structure of DNA, as a meat machine. It may be a meat machine biologically, but functionally it is one of the remarkable creations of God. And this power of the brain is unique. The monkey does not have that power, elephant does not have that power, though it is big brain. Human brain is extraordinarily unique. And Swami said, that is why he said, Chantunam Narjanmum Durlabham. We have to explain to people how delicate this is. If you take sports in the world of what you call American style football, gridiron football they call it, they butt people. One fellow wears a helmet and butts another fellow. This fellow is something like 200 kg, that fellow is under 200 kg, they dash against each other, brain has concussions. Now there is convincing evidence, this is happening all the time. And people are trying to say, do we need the sport? We don't realize how delicate this is. There is no computer on earth that can match the brain in terms of the diversity of things. Oh, you can have raw power, CPU power, but this is extraordinarily crafted. In fact, we still don't know how the brain works, how it is capable of consciousness. Nobody knows still. There are any number of books. All these things have to be highlighted. And Swami has left behind a huge legacy. In my personal opinion, that should be the item priority 1 to 25. Then only comes other things. Can I find people who will take interest in this? If we can do that, we would have done a great job.
To me, it seems like this 90th birthday with the coming of this edifice almost is a point where from now on Swami's message should be the only center point of our lives. Till now, you know, people are worrying, thinking about the form, we are missing the form, and okay, the form went from form to formless, we are discussing about all this. But I think this is the turning point where if we say that we love Swami, then we have to love His message. And to me, this building is sort of is a signal towards that drift.
Yes, towards not the drift is random, yes. Towards that flow.
towards the flow.
I will call the 90th birthday the year of the decade of the centenary. On the time of the 100th birthday, you will have many people who have never seen Swami. But thanks to all these things, Swami will be a reality. He will not be a fictional character in some book called Bhagavatam or something there. Though Krishna is real to many people, here there is concrete evidence. And the quality of message and the content which he has left behind, people must realize that it is timeless. I say this because people will say, oh, that is old discourse of Swami. Give me the latest discourse. Many people will come and say to me, used to say to me. I would ask them, then throw the Bhagavad Gita into the dustbin. So what? What do you mean? They said, Bhagavad Gita is 5,000 years. Why do you want 5,000 years when you are asking for Swami's discourse yesterday, as though it's a newspaper? Then they get shocked. Nobody has grasped the enormity of the legacy that Swami has left behind. So this year should be the curtain raiser for all people everywhere to get interested, so that the 100th year of his birth anniversary becomes a big gala adoration and celebration of his message. Because that's what lives on.
Absolutely. But I think the good news is, from our experience in Radio Sai, some of the programs which we have been doing of late focused on Bhagwan's message, be it study circles, be it the Shravanam Mananam series, we have always found a lot of people responding and people eager. And on the building, will it also house Swami's memorabilia?
No. Memorabilia must be housed in a building to which people flock. So we have kept that. Otherwise we have to keep robes, tumblers used by Swami and all that. That will attract the crowd. That is, the presidential libraries are like that. School children come, the big groups come. They have combined it. We don't want to, because our focus is on preservation of originals. Preservation of originals must be done in a high-tech godown. And world over, they do that.
So now we are going to invite all the devotees also and all the people who have had any such material with them, Bhagwan's letters or any recordings, to send it to this archive for preservation. Is that going to be an exercise which will start again? Though it has been happening in Radio Sai, but perhaps it's happening in a slow manner.
We did it on an informal basis, goodwill and all that. It can no longer be done like that, because this is the age of fighting for intellectual property rights and so on. And therefore, we need to have legal protocols and some sharing of what you call property, what rights they will have, what rights we will have. We must have rights in perpetuity, though they must have share the rights. These things have to be codified on a legal basis. So some of our legal pundits, I hope, look into it seriously. Then only we can collect from what is in the outside world. There are a lot of material in the outside world we don't even know. But now the copyright and intellectual property business has become a big affair. So we have to make a lot of effort. So far, the effort has been to preserve what we have got, by hook or by crook. We have got something that we have to preserve. Having preserved, we must launch this effort. So we need to do that kind of thing.
So that has to go on parallelly.
In parallel, to enlarge the acquisition.
May I also ask you, in the shaping up of the archive, the way we see today, it looks amazing. What were the moments in this journey, you know, when you really felt you were pushed to the corner? I know there have been so many times you would have faced really so many challenges and you would have felt the invisible hand of God working. And I know it has been quite a tiresome and exhausting journey to see what we have seen today. Were there certain moments where you really felt very helpless, but then you saw light at the end of the tunnel, you felt His grace, and then, you know, it really propelled you to go on this and ensure that this happens?
There is not one incident, one stage when this happened. Because the gentleman who came forward to build the archive said, I'll build the archive. But he did not have funds. But we said, let us design it anyway. So the architectural foundations were laid. And meanwhile, the architectural foundations were revised and consolidated based on technology for preservation. We did a lot of work on that. Then the two came together. But the technology for preservation had still to be taken from concept to actualization. For that, we needed persons who build clean rooms for storage or activities that must be performed under very clean conditions. Such cleanliness is required in space technology, in semiconductor technology, and in pharma industry particularly, and in biological research, because there you don't want inside contamination to be contaminated from outside. The maximum demands on biology, especially drug fabrication, you don't want contamination. So we need to have a discussion. You won't get discussions like that unless you place a contract. Then that fellow will come and say, again, do it this way, and so forth. That stage could not be reached because this gentleman did not have money. He was expecting to receive payments for work done that was being held up. So it was dragging. Then one fine day he told me, I am going to Delhi. Keep your fingers crossed. Pray. He came back with the good news that a lot of money which the government owed to him for projects done outside the country, for and on behalf of the government of India, he received payment, bulk payment of arrears. Then he just sent a simple letter to the trust saying, I would like to formally request that I be allowed to donate this building. The trust deliberated and agreed. And so we didn't know whether we would turn the corner or when we would turn the corner, if at all. But it happened. So that was for me a very big moment. He's coming forward to build and trust accepting it. And afterwards, we have had the usual roadblocks here and there. Those are part of the territory. No work of Swami is a smooth road. He always tests you and tries you, and you have to be up to it. But if you have patience and say, I am not the doer, it is his will, problems get solved. That is one thing I have found. And when they get solved, you get a better outcome than you have thought of. So I now believe very clearly, because I had a long career of trying to do things for Swami, every one of them failed. But at the end I learnt from every case one lesson. I found he was always raising the bar, like in high jump. You know, if you go here, where do you stop? Then try to go on over there. So finally I realized you don't plan, except at the working level. Goals you set, the target. But in between you plan and be ready for mid-course correction. And then you find that if there's a delay, there is a reason why that delay was there. Because he wanted to give you Swami wanted to give you something much better.
When is it likely to be inaugurated, sir?
The exact date of inauguration is not known. But it will be during the forthcoming Guru Purnima season.
So that will be a big moment for you.
For me, yes, it is a lifelong dream. But more than that, it is the feeling of relief that the archival material will be safely preserved for posterity. If at all there is anything I can claim, at least I made a concerted non-stop effort for 10 years to see that these things are preserved. Because they were decaying. Also, the analog technology is disappearing. Most of our data is analog. Unless it was converted to digital, it will be of no use. People will not have the instrument to convert analog to digital. And that would be a massive, colossal disaster. When Swami again, in the nick of time, he made funds available, because that's going to cost us a pile to convert all that digital data, analog data into digital data. Digital data is the way data will be preserved in the future. World has gone irreversibly to the digital mode. But we will have the analog also. It will be the originals.
When Radio Sai started, you gave that tagline, pure love in the digital dimension, and now we are all moving towards that.
Did I say that?
Yes, pure love in the digital dimension. Now we are all seeing different phases of it.
I have to pat myself back retrospectively for being so smart to say that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sairam, dear listeners, that was a conversation with Professor G. Venkatraman about the upcoming archival building and the project to conserve all the media related to Bhagwan. We hope you enjoyed it, and you may send in your feedback to listener@radiosai.org.